When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Chat of the Wild is a part of the Greenlit Podcast Network. To find out more information, as well as other great shows, go to greenlitpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Chat of the Wild. In this season, we are playing through The Legend of Zelda, The Twilight Princess. In our last episode, we just completed a dungeon. In this episode, we're going to wander around for a little while.
Wander.
Oh, the places we'll go.
Mm-hmm. So when we get done with the Goron Temple dungeon, we get kicked back to Kakariko Village, and we are told by the spirits to go to North Lanayru Province area. That is where we will find the next thing that we need. We do get a scene with all of the kids and everyone, and Colin is talking to us, talking about like how proud he is of us and cheering us on. And he's like, you know what? I did say I was going to be like you. And since you changed your profession from farmhand to hero, so will I.
Now I get a character arc and it's over.
Right. Creepy looking Colin. Creepy Colin.
He is one of the least creepiest of looking of them.
I don't know. There's just something.
Like a child.
Now, his eyes creep me out.
So, yeah. After all of this, we are sort of like let free to go around. Some things. One thing to make sure of is go buy bombs.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to the bomb shop, you can now buy some bombs and you can buy a bomb bag off of them. And we'll need that to open up a bunch of areas.
Some rocks are not bombable.
Not yet. Yeah. No. Not with this level of bombs.
No. In fact, I think it's a side mission to, you don't necessarily have to open up all of Hyrule Field, but there's a side mission that will let you do so. I went and found, I tried to do a little bit of exploring cause I was like, we don't have to beat a dungeon. That means we get to explore, right? Going forward, no. But I did find a cave and ran out of oil in that cave.
Mm-hmm. I think I know. Was it like just this spaghetti cave where all these different tunnels were going all different places?
Yeah, but yeah. It acted like a dungeon in some ways because the map, the cave system got mapped as I went through it, which was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Also, in that cave, I ran into our this game's version of Choo-Choos.
Yep.
Yes!
It's like the slug that dropped on me.
You can scoop them up with an
That's
empty bottle.
What I didn't realize, that there is a oil Choo-Choo in this game, and I forgot until it had disappeared on me, and it didn't respawn. And so I couldn't refill. I had to come back here later once I refilled my lantern, but that was cool. Totally forgot about that.
So maybe I just don't know the function, but is there a way for Midna to tell you what the enemies are? Because I ran into the Choos, and I was just like, oh, this is a weird jelly thing.
Uh-huh.
And once I picked up the jelly, I realized it was Choo jelly. But when I targeted it and then hit the button to talk to Midna, she was just like, hey, we got to go do this thing.
Yeah.
Like,
no, there's no help on that. And I had just bought, because I'm full on rupees right now, of course. And so I'd filled up my other bottle with red potion because I needed to spend something. And plus, I wanted to give money to Malo. And he gets mad at you if you step into a store and you don't buy anything. So
yeah.
I did not want to incur the wrath of the demigod. So I bought whatever I could. And that left me with no empty bottles, so I couldn't bring more oil in.
Yeah, do we get more bottles? I only have two right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll get four, I think. Four or six.
I'm hoping six.
Yeah.
I could use all the bottles I can get.
Yeah, I found the same cave, and there was like a fairy right outside of the cave, and I discovered it after I left that cave thing or whatever. I didn't find that there was anything like super special in the cave. There wasn't like any kind of piece to duh.
But heart pieces aren't special in this game.
And because it takes five. But there was a fairy. I got really excited. I'm like, oh, fairy!
There's also a popo in that cave, but we can't do it.
I was going to say there are poos in there, but we can't interact with them yet.
Yeah,
you can only do it as a wolf.
Right. And that will be a whole big thing when we first are able to do stuff with them.
Mm-hmm. I do have one Poe, and that was back from the forest, whatever, and stuff.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, I do have one Poe. But that, I mean, I was a wolf, obviously, and then I forgot that you had to be a wolf to kill the Poes, and I'm like slashing at it. It keeps on murdering me. I ran into several Poes. What?
To even see them, you have to be a wolf, let alone interact with them.
You see their lantern going
right,
back.
Right.
So anyway, again, we can do a bunch of exploring. There's still just like so many things that we can't do yet. We get that. It feels more Metroidvania than it has in previous Zelda games, mm-hmm. where you have these odd-looking things that stand out so much more, where it's like, clearly I need a thing to interact with that. It isn't just like, you know, oh, it turns out that those vines that you saw, you'll be able to get to those by using the special item we get later. It is flat out like, here is this slot that says, you need an item to interact with this slot.
Yes.
And so, yeah, really, like, we can get a couple heart pieces here and there. You get your bombs. We can do bomb arrows. It just flat out is just like, hey, that thing that people love to glitch with before, we're just going to let you do it. And you just can, when you highlight bombs, it'll just pop up and mean like, hey, do you want to do bomb arrows? And then it just gives you bomb arrows.
I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, if you hold on to the bomb arrow too long, it explodes in your face.
That's awesome. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I'm like, because I was trying to aim, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, that just, yeah, that's in my face. Good times.
That probably could have happened to me this episode, because I was sitting too close to the Wii center bar, and I couldn't, it was like, point the Wii at the screen, and I'm like, I am game, show me my crosshair, but I guess I let it go quick enough and didn't blow up.
Yeah.
So, wandering around, we do sort of get led to a new area that is blocked by twilight. When we go into that area, we get that prompt that it isn't flat out, but they do the prompt of like, there's no turning back for a while, which there isn't, because this is like one of the longer wolf sections.
Mm-hmm.
Like, stuck as a wolf section. This is like our last part, and we have to do a lot as the wolf before we can be free to roam around again. Although we can teleport.
Yes, still. We can. There are plenty of teleport spots, but all of them have weird ways to gate you. So if you warp back to Kakariko Village, you are stuck there because the gates are still closed. If you warp to like the Goron area, that they have high walls that you can't climb as a wolf or something like that, that will gate you. There's a bunch of like really artificial crappy ways to keep you from really exploring the map as a wolf.
Including just flat out being like, we're gonna take this bridge away that you just walked across.
Yeah.
Like, here's a cutscene.
And you can, they drop that on you, they drop like three of the guys on you that you're supposed to only be able to kill as a wolf. I was able to actually spin attack two of them and get the warp point, but then that warp point takes the bridge away.
The thing that frustrated me about this was that, you know, we start and you start in Kakariko after the dungeon. And there's all this new stuff that happens, and they're like, hey, there's a shop that's only available at night now. Check it out. There's some item that isn't normally available. And I was like, all right, well, I'll wander around. When it goes back to night, I'll come back. and was really looking forward to going to that shop, progressed a little bit, and all of a sudden I'm cut off from everything that I just did, that I just unlocked. So
yeah. Yeah, this is, I mean, I don't know. I don't remember as much about Skyward Sword maybe as I think I do, but yeah, there's a lot of that gating in this game, especially early on. Eventually we'll get to a point where it's all opened up and we can go around, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. So when we get into this new Twilight area, become a wolf, we do come across Ilya's bag and we get her stench. But for whatever reason, they make us replace the old one, where I'm like, why would I still need that old one? Why are you even prompting me with this?
Right.
Just say I have it.
Link's nose acts like a bottle.
Yes.
It's just,
it can
it's
only
just,
hold one scent at a time.
Also, we were never really told as why she wasn't with the kids, why the bad guys kept her with them. It's just like, no, Ilya's not here, and they don't even really mention her in the previous segments where we were dealing with our kidnapped little friends. She's just with the other guys.
Following her odor, we are led into Hyrule Castle, like the town of Hyrule Castle town. And I still remember when I first got here playing through this game, just being like, there's so many people here. Like, it was just really interesting, like how they just had people running around and doing all this stuff. And of course we're in wolf form, so you can only see them by default as their spirits. Mm-hmm. But then when you do your senses, you can see them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can listen to a lot of people. If you listen to a few of them, they do talk about a Zora child that is hanging out over at Telma's bar.
He's passed out. He's passed out at the bar.
He drank too much.
Ilya Scent takes this really winding path, and as soon as I got into town, I was like, no, the bar is this way. I still remember where the bar is. I'm not going to follow the scent. I'm just going to go to the bar. But presumably she went a couple places before she ended up at Telma's place.
Mm-hmm. So you could follow that dumb family circus cliched line thing all the way through.
This game doesn't need more dumb things about it, Jeremy. Don't add Family Circus to it, please.
But I liked
Family Circus?
Yeah?
No. Oh, great.
I liked exploring the town. I thought it was fun. It's been a while since I've seen it.
When we can interact more with other people, I can't wait till we get to that point. But as a wolf, you can only really just listen and bump into people.
Mm-hmm.
I know, but I talked to the kittens, and there's a bone that I picked up. And
yep, that bone, we'll need that later.
I enjoyed that part. Like, it was just, I don't know. I liked seeing it for the first time and listening to people's conversations. I don't know.
I like the castle town, so yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'd agree, seeing this literally for the first time, because I haven't played this before, I really love that you walk up as a wolf and you can see the gates to the town are ajar, and you can just see, if you peek in, you see all these floating lights moving around, oh, there's all these people in there. And I know, Jeremy, you were saying you can only really listen, you can't exactly interact with people, but I thought it was cool just to see how populous it was by seeing all these lights and being like, oh, there's going to actually be a ton of stuff here. There's going to be a ton of people to do things with here.
Mm-hmm.
So that was exciting for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we go through, make our way to Telma's bar. We can go in there and we find Ilya in there.
Yay!
And this little Zora child and Telma and a bunch of soldiers. But they're normally if we see when we talk about soldiers in our game, it's rare that those are good for us, but these are cool soldiers. They're just chilling.
Yeah.
But we can listen in on the cutscene and hear that this Zora child was sick. They don't necessarily know what they can do to help them. They've called the doctor, couldn't do anything.
Well, he's not here yet. But...
Or he hasn't arrived yet. But really, we're just waiting, and that's kind of all we can do.
Do we have to talk, or do we have to listen to the soldiers? Because if we do, they'll mark the location of the third spirit on our map, if we look at their map. I don't know if we have to do that.
Yes. I don't know if it's necessary.
Because I did
or
it.
Or if you went there automatically.
It, you wouldn't know. I feel like it has to be necessary, because unless you talk to people... Like, if it wasn't necessary, you could theoretically avoid talking to anyone in the town and not know about the water shortage, or not know that something happened with the water coming from Zora's domain.
Yeah.
I didn't test it. I didn't just, like, run out. Once we get done hearing Ilya talk about the Zora kid, it immediately ends with the soldiers talking about, like, oh, come over here and let's talk about what our plan of action is. Mm-hmm. And then if you go over there, then they're just like, memorize the map. And then you go over to the map, then the map marks it for you. For all we know, that door could be closed behind you until you did those things. But
true.
I'm not sure.
Because you push it open with your face.
You can check the map before you listen to the soldiers.
Okay.
Because that's what I looked at the map first.
And then once you do that, like, that's it. There's really nothing else you can do in this town.
Mm-mm, no, we won't be coming back until we're human. We do have to come back for one thing, because I did actually come across one of the light beams, but I didn't have a vessel for it.
Outside
so
the
I was
bar.
Just like,
what
oh,
the
yeah. heck?
Me too. I'm like, why?
And when we get back there, I was surprised to find out it was still dead and the tear of light was still floating there.
It was just floating there waiting for me.
Yeah, I was like, oh, cool. All right.
Yep.
So, if we follow the map, we end up going to the Lake Hylia. We do get to there, and it is just totally drained. So, we get into there, and Midna talks about how there's, like, no water in here, and, like, what is going on. And so, as we run towards the bridge that goes across it, then we get this bizarre cutscene where the Twilight Moblins, or whatever you want to call them, both show up on both sides with fire arrows, and Midna's like, what's that smell? And it turns out it's gasoline?
Yeah.
Oil of some kind.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And I think there's only one of them, because he shoots this masterful shot.
Oh, it might be. Yeah, it might just be one.
Pretty great. He probably should have shot us instead of shooting all the way over to the very edge of the oil.
Yeah.
Instead of burning the candle at both ends, he should just... burnt the candle from the middle, killed us.
Yeah.
So we have two walls of flame coming towards us on this bridge. What are we gonna do?
Shove your head into a box.
I was challenged by this, I'm not gonna lie. Weren't there like crates and crap?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Brian, what would Dangeresque do?
It looks like we're gonna have to jump.
I got on top of the crate, thinking that if I, like, got on top of it while the fire passed, I would be fine. Nope, it murdered me. And so I had to go through that stupid cutscene over. I'm like, well, maybe if I push it somehow just so, and then get on top of the crate, and then, like, nope, that killed me too. I'm like, am I supposed to just walk through flames? Like, what am I supposed to be doing here?
You're supposed to put a paper bag over Strongsad's head and push him off the building.
I was so mad. And then finally, like, you know, you push the crate up against, you push it up against the wall or whatever, and then you jump over the bridge into the whatever lake is there. Because it's like, you know, it's a bazillion feet down. Okay. And then Minna's like, oh, thank goodness there was, you know, water here to, you know, land or fall. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm just jumping off of bridges now. Okay. Yeah. Like, what?
We may have lost two hearts.
Yeah.
If this wasn't here.
Yeah, I thought the arrow shot, like, across the bridge was a little comical, to say the least. Because it's just one guy. And so at first I thought, okay, there's going to be something on this bridge I have to interact with, or something I have to find, and, like, surely I'm not supposed to just jump over the side.
Right?
So I died the first time. And then when I jumped off the side, I think, like, my game took a little longer to load or something happened where I thought I had actually died again. And I was just like, are you serious? Am I about to die right now? What am I supposed to do?
No, it was just loading in a new area. A big area.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
When we do jump down, we are sort of at, like, not the, I mean, we're at the lake bed of it, and there is just nothing going on around here. If you do look around, you do see some Zoras hanging out, wondering, like, what's going on, and talking amongst themselves about, like, this must have something to do with the curse, or the water blockage is causing all these issues. Where is the prince at? What is going on?
It's almost like Ocarina of Time.
Almost. So, we can wander around here, and we do come across a new character. I don't remember his name, but he's a clown-looking guy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you talk to him, he just mutters to himself about how, like, business isn't doing well. And then he goes, like, hey, what's that over there? And there's just one of those Twilight Moblins hanging out by himself. And if you go up to him, it starts this battle scene where he summons this giant Twilight bird that he hops onto it and you have to fight it. And it's kind of annoying because he can just like shoot arrows at you from it, but you have to like dodge those arrows and you have to wait till that bird gets close enough to you that you can jump on top of it and bite it.
This is a bokoblin.
Oh, this?
Bokoblin archer. Now, if the guy on the bridge had trained him, the guy on this giant Twilight Bird, maybe Ganon would win, but...
Who?
Yeah.
Right.
Excuse me.
This, whatever. This drove me nuts. This drove me nuts. Because anytime I got close to the stupid bird, it was like, it picked me up, you know, by its little feet, you know, and like, and then...
And that's a bad thing this right now. That's yes. A bad thing.
Yes, and then thrash me about, and then I, you know, and I'm like, I'm just trying to attack you. I'm trying to attack you. So then you have to go up, like, behind him, and then, like, you, like, there's, like, a... Do you use Minna on this part? I'm trying to think.
No.
Or you just, like, just press A and just attack, and you just go to town on
maybe
the
you can.
One
I
of
didn't.
Your two attacks.
Yeah.
What? Yes.
You jump onto him and bite his chest.
Yes.
Yeah.
The sound effect is...
Is that what it was?
Yes. I'm like, what is going on?
Mm-hmm. I'm right there with you.
We go and beat the bird. And then after that happens, we can... use Midna, or Midna can take over.
I think we can
control the bird
to call another one.
We go and do that. Then we get a little mini game where the bird grabs us and flies us up the upstream, basically, which I think this stuff looks cool, but it's just boring.
But I've played this game before. And I know how infuriating it is. So it doesn't matter how cool it is. I know I hate it.
I hated it.
And there's going to be like, there's going to be multiple times where we can keep talking about how much we hate it. Because we're going to have to do this multiple times.
Yes.
First time, it doesn't control the greatest, but I thought it was impressive. I thought it was unexpected for me. So it was like, oh, now we're doing a flying minigame. This is cool. Like, there's stuff happening. There's people shooting at you. Great time. Every subsequent time that I had to do this, I was like, oh, my God, please make it stop.
Especially the times where it's not what you need to do, but you're doing it because you think maybe it's what you need to do, and you're not really sure where you're supposed to be going, but you might as well fly down this thing again.
I was actually... trying to completely avoid it, and I did it by accident when it was something I needed to do again.
Yeah.
So
I had to go through this three times.
Yeah.
Went up the first time, which was just mandatory as part of the story. And then went through it again later when we're collecting the beans, but I didn't realize what I needed to do and so ended up not actually killing any of the bugs on the way up. I was basically herding them like goats.
Yeah.
Thinking that they were going to pop out at the end.
Oh.
That didn't happen.
Wow. That'd have been fun. Not really.
And then I had to go all the way back through it again.
Mm-hmm.
A third time to do what I actually wanted to do.
Right.
The first time I did this stupid thing, my pro controller is not the best thing for the... It didn't, like, maneuver well. The mechanics were just not great. And so it wasn't, like, the little moblins that kept on hitting me. It was the fact that I couldn't, like, dip down low or high or whatever. I kept on hitting the stupid rocks!
Well, this is the and easiest... I'm like, this is the easiest time that we have to do this because the water's not there. And so there's a whole... another section of like
yeah
space yes. You know where water normally would be that we can fly in, and later when you come back here that's filled up with water, and so it makes the amount of area you have to move around in much smaller.
Yeah, and thankfully the second time around I'm like, oh my god, I have to do this again. But I did, like, at first, I got nervous because I'm like, now I have to hit the bugs while I'm flying. This is great. Mm-hmm. This is just great.
You're like, shoot into right. them, like dash into
you could,
them.
Yeah, you can dash. Lock in, you can lock onto them and dash your way into
yeah,
them.
Yeah, you still have to yes. dash into them.
But yeah. it, like, at first, it wouldn't let me do it. But fortunately, like, one of the bugs kind of, like, as I like, I missed it the first time. I got lucky. It kind of came up again and it let me hit it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, thank goodness. Because if I had to go back and do this again, I fortunately got all of the bug things, you know, the first time around. But I did not enjoy that part. I did not enjoy it.
So
we get up there, and this takes us up to Zora's Domain, which shockingly has been frozen over.
Unless you played Ocarina.
Who could have seen that coming? Mm-hmm. Who could have seen that coming?
It was pretty.
Certainly dumb. Not me.
Certainly not people that play Zelda games on a show. It is kind of cool when you get all the way up there and then Midna's like, where is everybody at? And then when you do your sense mode, you just see all of these, like, they basically, they look dead. They, you know, yeah. like, that yeah. would kill any other kind of being frozen like that.
I mean, fish stay trapped in the ice for winter, and they're fine. That's, like, part of life.
Under the ice, not in the ice.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're under it. Not the entire lake or body of water is not frozen.
Sometimes. It'll be no. fine.
But we see take a nap all for a while. Of these Zoras just frozen in place because they are just stuck in this chunk of ice. And I don't know. I mean, I knew exactly what to do before I came into here. BC, what? Walk me through your process.
Yeah.
How did you solve this puzzle?
As soon as we got to, like, we looked down and we saw the Zoras. And she was like, we got to get him out. I was like, magma. My thought was that we were going to have to go to Death Mountain and pour magma in. And I was like, wouldn't that kill all these Zoras? I was like, I know it's magma related.
Even the thing we end up doing should have killed all the Zoras.
Yeah.
The Zoras should have been dead by the ice. They should have been dead by our puzzle solution.
They're masterful.
I think it was... This is... I know we said that this is supposed to be like, you know, Zelda, but dark this time. This is clearly the part where they're trying to be edgy, because you have this scene where you're looking down at all these presumably dead or injured, like, frozen Zora.
Mm-hmm.
And then even after you go to Death Mountain and you get the heated stone to plunge it in and into the ice and revive them, like, you walk around and they're all just, like, out of it. They're all, like, either half dead or mm-hmm. unconscious. And so it's like you think you're about to talk to the Zoras, and they're just, like, laying there, like, moaning incoherently.
There's HF with the different vowels. There's hofs and hefs and yeah. hoofs yes. and, yeah.
Which at least makes sense, because that's what would happen if you did that. Mm. But
And they were like, you know, I always, there are multiple points within this episode that I remember it being annoying, and then I never remember what it is I need to do. So I completely forgot that we had to go get the stone. Because even when we saw the stone last episode, I was like, I got to bring that somewhere. I don't remember where. And I accidentally just happened to... I was trying to warp to Kakariko because I was like, maybe there's something in Kakariko I need to do. And I accidentally warped to Death Mountain. And I was like, okay, let's go back. And Midna was like, do you want to bring this thing with you? And I'm like, oh yeah, that's what I have to do here. Oh, I'm so glad I didn't spend an hour trying to remember what it was I need to do, because every time I play this game, I spend an hour trying to remember, what do I do with this? How do I get them out of here?
For whatever reason, this like stuck out to me. Like, I remembered this part. I'm like, oh yeah, like a hot, you know, for the cold, I need to go to Death Mountain, and there's like that stupid rock thing. And I didn't remember like when we were originally in Death Mountain, the rock thing, and I was like, I'm like, I don't remember like needing to use it for something, but when we were in Zora's domain, I remembered. I'm like, oh, it's that thing in Death Mountain. It just clicked. So
I think part of the reason it was so salient for me was that, you know, I was so upset about the Elden Bridge disappearing that the entire time we've been doing this, I've been looking around for, okay, where is the chunk of bridge that I'm going to have to transport back? So I just had transporting things through the warps on my mind the entire time I was playing. So maybe that's part of it.
Yeah.
Well, if you thought this part was dark, the next part, now that they're all freed,
it's dark.
They're like, hey, you want dark? I'll show you dark.
So we have saved the Zoras. They can thank us later.
Yay!
But for now, we're going to take a quick break, and we will talk about more Zelda when we get back. Hello, everybody. Let's talk about our Patreon. I'm talking about patreon.com/chatofthewild, chatofthewild. That's a T, not a D.
That's right.
If you go on there for as little as a dollar more, you can join our other patrons of the wild. Along with them, you'll get access to our Discord server where we talk about stuff in general. I mean, there's some Zelda stuff in there, Zelda memes, sharing like what people are playing, if you want to play along with them,
pictures of pets.
Exactly.
When we play Jackbox, that's where I drop the room codes. There's a couple of general open to the public channels, but most of the stuff where we interact with the community happens in the Patreon channels. So I was talking with one of our patrons as we played Mario Kart yesterday, and we were both in the voice channel talking. So yeah, Discord's it's a lot of fun.
Along with that, you can help us hit some goals that we have, like doing reviews of the Zelda manga. We also threw in some randomizer playthroughs on there. Those are some of the higher tier ones. And those will be not just Brian doing that. That is the point where the rest of us will start doing Twitch things and all of that. People have committed at the very least.
Yeah, I'm really excited for all of us to do stuff like that together. So
We do have in the works us reviewing the Zelda cartoon series. I am dreading that. That is going to be... the last time I watched those things, I felt like I was in trouble. and so I'm not looking forward to doing that again. But we did hit one of our goals, so we'll be doing that. If you're a patron, you'll get it ahead of time. I won't be putting up those episodes until it is complete. But if you are a patron, you will be getting those episodes weekly ahead of everyone else. So just another benefit of going on there, as well as being able to vote for our next game. We are currently playing through Twilight Princess. We don't know for sure what our next game is going to be. There is a short list of games that if you go to patreon.com/chatofthewild, sign up for as little as a dollar or more. You can go just underneath when you sign up to pick a different amount if you want to donate more a month. But dollar is the minimum. do that, you can hop on. There's a poll that is tagged at the top. You can go in there. You can vote. You can decide our fate.
That's right. And we're not going to let you know what's winning and what's losing or what's on that poll, so go and check it out. Also, we're pretty close to unlocking another, just general generic video game review. And yeah, we're not really sure exactly what we want to do, but we'll decide. I think there's a couple games we've talked about we would like to do. So if we hit that goal, we'll make another one.
And those will be Patreon exclusive as well. So if you want to hear those, we have an episode for Divinity Original Sin 2 that we did. But you have to be a patron to hear it. So again, patreon.com/Shadow of the Wild. Brian, you talked about your streaming. Where can they find that?
Yeah, that's Luigi's Apartment on Twitch. You can just search. There's an underscore in there, but if you just search for Luigi's Apartment, you'll find it. I'm also on the same on Twitter, Luigi's Apartment, and Instagram. Also, Tiffy has been doing a lot of streaming with me too, so she's at Spiffy Games on Instagram. So we're doing a lot of she's doing a lot of clean makeup stuff, and if you tune into the stream, there's a wheel for me that you can spin that Spiffy is in charge of, Tiffy's in charge of, that will have me put on different kinds of makeup or play with little tiny hands with my controller or add makeup with little tiny hands. And so if you check out Spiffy K on, Spiffy Games on Instagram, there'll be pictures the next day after a stream with how my face ended up, and they've been pretty great.
Yeah, it's pretty funny whenever I open up that app and just see your face being like, "Hi!" It's like, oh my god.
It's me at 2 a.m. delirious with makeup everywhere.
I always forget to plug this too. Follow the show on Twitter at Chat of the Wild. We're on Twitter on there. You can see whenever we have new episodes go up, and if there is a delay like there was last week, we'll let people know through that as well. Anyways, let's go ahead and kick it over to some other Greenlit podcast shows. Woo!
Hey there, this is Jeremy Parrish, and if you're a fan of classic video game soundtracks, or if you just love 20-minute rock epics about war-ready armadillos that battle Catholicism, you should listen to Alexander's Ragtime Band. Join the power trio of myself, Elliot Long, and James Eldred each month as we talk about the most pretentious music of all, progressive rock, right here on the Greenlit Podcast Network.
Oh, hi. I was just shoveling more red-hot takes into the old Hardcore Gaming 101 opinion furnace.
Shaq-Fu has some redeeming qualities.
There's a lot of Vigigame podcasts out there, but only HG101 has the co-Jones to objectively, definitively, scientifically rank the top games of all time. No, it's definitely pronounced Co-Jones. HG101's Top Games. Twice a week, every week, right here on Greenlit.
So now that we saved the Zoras, we are like, we're just good to leave. We took care of their stuff. Let's go on our adventure. Oh, wait, what is this? We get stopped by a large ghost of a Zora.
Queen Zora.
The Queen Zora, what was her name?
Nutella.
Rutella. and she explains to us why that little Zora boy was over in Hyrule Castle Town. And it's because he is the prince, Prince Rallus. And he was going out to try to figure out what was going on with Zora's domain.
They sent him there to ask for help.
Okay, yes. Mm-hmm. And then he got beat up or something.
Well, I mean, it's not as bad as what happened to her.
No.
Yeah, she's dead. Mm-hmm.
No, she's dead. Not just dead. It's not like, oh, I'm dead now. That. No, like, they executed her in front of the other Zoras.
They executed her to prove a point.
Yeah.
Oh.
In front of the other Zoras.
Yeah.
Like, no, this is how this goes down.
Yeah,
which I don't know
what
point they were trying to prove, because they immediately froze everybody. So I guess it's kind of a moot point.
Right. Like, we killed her anyways.
I was just going to say, this really confused me conceptually, because if we think about all the other instances where people are stuck kind of in the twilight and what happened to the castle town, we saw Hyrule Castle get stormed. we saw monsters attack these other regions. And so here, it's clear, like, everybody knows that monsters attacked, stormed the town, froze everybody, killed their queen. Nobody in Hyrule Town seems to acknowledge the fact that they got raided by monsters.
I know.
No.
Yet.
No, see, okay, see, they said that, Zelda said that she surrendered to save the town and mentioned about how they are clueless as to what happened.
But so everyone else
they don't
else
realize
is
that they are just spirits floating around right
I
now.
Mean, because everyone else, like, is kind of clueless as to exactly what's going on, but they're cowering in their house, like, I don't know why all these bugs have shown up. That sort of thing. So yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Oh.
Anyway, now that we have the water back up, we can go back to Lake Hylia, and if we make our way down, like we did, there is a part that you float down the river, and it does the sound as if you fell down a pit, but it does just sort of teleport you back to. But you're as a wolf,
yeah,
and it does teleport you like back to the main Lake Hylia area, and right in front of a shrine. So yep. You go into that, and that you basically just go into that shrine right where you washed up.
This is not the first time a convenient placement of you going through a thing and then getting put somewhere very conveniently will happen in this episode.
Right. Mm-hmm. And if we go through that same way again, we won't end up washed up on there.
No.
It'll just take us somewhere else.
Yeah.
But if we go in there, we will see the last of the elemental protectors.
I don't think we get to see them. We just get to see their light.
Yeah.
Right. We don't get to, we have not fully awakened them, but we did meet them. And they give us the vessel to go collect those beans.
Hooray.
this one is, I mean, we don't need to go through all of it. You know, a couple of them are in that channel that you have to fly up through, mm-hmm. where we already talked about all that stuff. But the key thing is that the very last one is not on the map.
Right.
And you have to find all but one before Midna brings up, hey, where's this last one at? And then suddenly she's like, oh, it's right there. And it's back in the middle of Lake Hylia. But anyway, we get all but one. And then the last one appears. We go where it's showing in the middle of the lake. And this starts a mini boss battle.
Yeah, against a Metroid Prime enemy.
It really does look like that. When you first see it, it's kind of funny because you can't actually see it.
Yeah.
It's only when you go into sense mode that you can see it. So it does this cutscene where you're just sort of like, I don't know, there's just some weird electricity bouncing around. And then when you use your senses, you're like, oh, it's this grotesque bug larva looking thing.
I don't know what its name is, though, because nothing tells me what anything is in this game, so...
I know.
No. I was bummed about that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Although I'm sure it's like Twilt Bug or whatever they call the things.
Twilight?
Yeah.
Twilight Queen.
Twilight, yeah. Twilight Queen, sure.
Twilight Bug Queen.
We go and fight them. Do we have anyone have any trouble with this battle?
I couldn't figure out. Like, I knew that I needed to attack it, obviously, but once I finally figured out, like, to get on top of it, like, when its belly flopped,
the final one
had its head, like, had its legs.
When all its nipples are out.
Yeah, but I'm like, I forgot that I could use Midna and her, you know, overall slapping thing.
Were you
That's
trying to do the
I
spin
forgot.
Attack?
I'm like, what? Mm-hmm.
Were you trying to use the spin attack?
Yes.
Okay.
And that wasn't working, and I'm like, and so I kept on like going through that whole scene over and over again.
Does it get back up after a while?
What?
When it's on its back like that, does it get back up after a while? Because that's the final part of it. Okay, it will.
Right. It does. And so I did it like two or three times, and I finally realized, oh, you need to use Midna's thing, and then it finally like explodes. I expected ooze to come out of it or something.
Well,
thankfully,
I was dodging it and then waiting for the attack for it to open up and not be electrified, so I could jump up and grab it and do the, you know, like when you're a dog, you can hold on to something and just attack.
Yes.
But it ended up being where I let it hit me, and then it was a lot easier to do it that way. So for some reason, when I dodged, it would go to its vulnerable state, but it would always be like up in the air or way too far away for me to leap and grab. So I just let it damage me, and then it was, yeah. Do your Midna thing, and then you're good.
Mm-hmm. I just kind of like, I went onto one of the larger platforms, and right when I knew it was about to dodge, because that's when you could get close to it, so I'd kind of skirt over to the side on that platform thing, so to be close enough where I could come and attack it. So, yeah. And so that part I figured out, but it was that last bit that got me. So, anyways.
I like that they made the final bug a mini boss.
Yeah.
I thought it added a nice bit of finality to, you know, we killed all these bugs. This is where they were coming from in the first place. Don't have to worry about them anymore.
Yeah. Until we get Skyward Sword.
So, we beat that bug. It blows up. We get the last one. We get teleported back to the shrine, turned back into a human, and then we get the weirdest and coolest thing, the thing that always sticks with me throughout this game.
The first time I saw it, but I was probably really wasted, and I wasn't reading what was happening, because it makes no sense.
So the story they tell is boring, but the way they illustrate it is amazing.
It reminds me of the first time I watched Mulholland Drive, where I was like,
oh my goodness. I just watched that like a month ago.
This is art, maybe?
Yeah. I thought it was super cool and super edgy, because that's the mindset we were in 2006, in the middle of a never-ending war and a whole new mindset about what reality was, that like, this is like, whoa, dude, I can't believe how cool this is.
Let me summarize what the story is, basically. We get a similar, we got a similar story in Ocarina of talking about like the creation of everything. They talk about like the Triforce, and that it is just like the embodiment of the goddesses, and that it starts with that. Then it brings up about how men used that power to then try to create a ultimate power, but using through that they discovered some dark energy that they were going to use to take over everything, and as a retaliation, the goddess powers hid them away. That's like all they're saying in the end.
Weird world building aside, and cheesiness aside of just trying to be super edgy, I loved this section, because you get these images of like, they're clearly supposed to be creepy, of just Link and Ilya, and like their eyes are like rolling back and being white, and then like people like stealing Link's souls, and like all these dark Links like sitting around and laughing. I just thought it was a cool, weird scene.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
I appreciated it back then. I still don't think it makes any sense. And look, I'm not into the timeline, so I don't really care if none of it makes sense. That's fine with me.
Right.
You can keep your weird, edgy Zelda cutscene. I loved this when it was new. I just think it's like over the top. And yeah, that's fine. That's fine, game. That's fine.
So some of the things that we get that really stand out is, yeah, we see Link and Ilya standing next to each other, looking at the beautiful land created by the goddesses. Then suddenly Ilya is like, I'm going to kill Link and I'm going to take it for myself. But before she can do that, Link goes and ends up killing her, and then drops his sword, runs towards the Triforce, trying to go and take ultimate power. Then three dark Links show up and vaporize him, But then as that's happening, we switch back around and we see one of the dark links is actually the link that we saw before. And then they're all just like, buddy, buddy, hey, we have the ultimate power. Then all of the goddesses are just like, no, I don't think so. We're going to seal you away. Then we get this close up of Link's face screaming death. And then it's just like, okay, there's that. Then we have images of Ilya falling upside down, raining Ilyas as she is talking to us. And then the whole time they're looking at us with her mouth moving and it just has this creepy motion.
Yeah.
After all of that, we cut back to the reality of what's going on with Link having this slight sinister grin on his face because the dark power that he has in his wallet is corrupting him, but he doesn't quite understand it, but he just knows this feels good.
We get that Kubrick shot too, where like the, where it's like his face is down and it's like, yes.
Yeah. So anyways, we're human again. We are told, we're reminded by Midna after all of this stuff that we need to go and help that Zora kid out because that ghost mom said she would give us some special things. So we go back to Hyrule Castle Town.
I thought that she gave it to us. I misread it. So I immediately jumped into the water and put my iron boots on and died.
nope, not quite.
So, but I am glad, though, that like all of that, like, conflict and anger I had over that cutscene melted away as soon as I stepped out into Lake Hylia and we get like the most beautiful Lake Hylia song of all time. It's just relaxed. I thought I was back in Mario Galaxy again.
So now we can go back to Castletown. When we get there, the doctor that they talked about before is on his way out, gives us this look, is just like, get out of my way. Love his design though, because he's got that design where you can only see his eyes on his Coke bottle glasses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they stole him from Pixar.
Sure. And as we're walking out, as he's walking out, Ilya runs behind him saying, like, can't you do anything else? And then she turns and looks at us and she's just like, and then goes back to doing whatever. So we're like, what is going on? Turns out we're playing a JRPG because she has amnesia.
Yeah.
It's only a JRPG if she has amnesia and she's God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was super mad when I remembered that. Oh, that's right. They totally like, were like, oh, everyone's going to like, you know, cause that's what everyone wants from like, sorry, the Link and Zelda thing where they get together at Ocarina. Everyone was like, I thought that they were going to like live happily ever after or something like that. You know, especially 13-year-olds that were just really pent up for that crap. And so like, hey, you see your girlfriend again. It's been like 15 hours and you were hoping to see your girlfriend and she doesn't remember you. And I'm like, oh, they knew what they were doing and they just pissed everybody off that wanted that. Because that's not the point of the game, and I get it, but I'm just like, we have to wait 30 more hours for her to remember us. fine game, fine.
So we go into there, and they're still talking about they don't know what's going on, but then Telma brings up about how she knows there's this shaman that lives in Kakariko Village.
Yeah, her
that can
shaman.
Probably help. And so they're just that. Like... all the soldiers that we saw earlier are just sort of like, oh, this pretty girl needs help. Let's help her out. Yeah, rah, rah, rah.
Nobody lives forever.
They were.
And then Telma's just like, there's monsters. And then they all run.
Yeah.
Like that's all that she does not go into like really long description about like how dangerous it is. She's just sort of like, there's monsters on the way. And they're just like, oh, I didn't sign up for this.
I love the last soldier that's just standing there and he's like shaking.
Doesn't realize his friends have already bailed.
Right. I enjoyed that scene.
So we basically, because we're standing there and because we are Link, we have volunteered ourselves for this next mini game challenge, whatever you want.
Because we can't say no.
Right. Because they don't give us any prompts. Mm-mm. And then we, you know, fast forward, explaining all this stuff. We got to get there. So we do an escort mission where they're on a horse and carriage and we're just on a horse. And really, I have made the decision to say the fact that there is horse riding in this game is one of the worst things about this game.
Yep.
Yes.
Combat is awful.
Yep.
The way, because you will want to use your bow and arrow a lot during this, but there's a weird thing that happens that as soon as you let go of like firing an arrow on a locked on enemy, it goes the first person like you're shooting your arrow.
Yep.
So then I have to back out of it to keep doing that. All the while, opponent's just going to run in any direction. It is hard to get her to stop. The carriage can be set on fire, which you will need to use your like gust boomerang to put it out. But then also it can take damage, but I don't think it's clear on how much damage it's actually taken. It'll only show like it being on fire.
Yeah.
And it can get on fire enough, but there are bombs that get dropped on it, but there isn't a gauge that necessarily says it's had too many bombs dropped on it. Fortunately, I didn't lose on this one. It just took forever and it was just annoying.
Yeah, I don't think the bombs did damage to it. The bombs were just used to stop you from turning the correct direction.
So yeah. The bombs,
oh, okay.
Yeah, they scare Thelma away from taking a right, when she's supposed to take a right, she ends up taking a left every time, which after about four cycles, I wasn't paying attention to that. I was just like, why am I still, it feels like we should be going somewhere. Isn't there something I have to do? And then I saw the bomb scare her again. I was like, oh, that's right. That's why I always get, this is another instance of things that take forever being in this section that I remember previous playthroughs being like, ugh, okay, fine.
Yeah,
so I only realized because Midna told me that Midna will say, hey, the horse is running in circles, but everything is so frantic between, you know, the birds, the bombs, the fire. And like Jeremy said, using your bow and arrow is not practical on a horse.
Even Z-targeting with it.
This should be so cool. This should be so cool. If they, like, let's redo it in the way that they did in Majora's Mask, where you're on the back of this carriage shooting at things.
Right.
Just to make it a first-person target gallery minigame, where you are just trying to shoot out stuff. Don't make me have to control the horse at the same time.
That was the big draw, though, is like, they're like, look, you're going to have horse combat. And in that reveal trailer, and we're all like, oh my God, there's going to be horse combat.
There is combat. There are horses. Sometimes both happen, but I wouldn't say they happen well.
No. No.
They collide.
Together.
We don't get a Reese's cup from this. We get broken glass from the containers of the chocolate and the peanut butter.
Yes.
And bloody hands.
Blood in
hands. And the only way I was actually able to make this work is because, so what happens is you can clear all of the bad guys out on warthogs and then be like, okay, let's be ready for the bird that drops the bomb. But when you make the final, when they make the final left turn into the straightaway to where they're going to make the right turn, that's when all of the warthogs with the snow speeders show back up and mob you again. And so they're all in the way. You can't Z target the bird unless you go into like first person perspective, which I didn't even try to do. And so I had multiple times of they pop up right when you need to be targeting the bird. And I only got lucky because I was riding close to a tree and one of the warthogs rolled up next to me and slammed into the tree and left it completely wide open for the bird. And I was like, oh, I'm glad that accidentally happened and made it so much easier to shoot the damn bird.
Yeah, anyway. It was just an overall issue for me. I hated the control. Like, I hate riding on Epona as is just normally because it's so glitchy. I really hate it. And then you throw in combat. It's very frustrating. And then, like, the stupid moblins kept on, like, letting the, you know, like, shooting the wagon on fire to the point where at one point in time they did die. It has flames that go all the way up to the top. And I'm like, oh, so then I have to, like, try to kill the bomb bird and like make sure that the wagon doesn't set on fire, blah blah blah. And I'm like, yeah, I cursed through the whole thing, through the whole thing.
Let's. Any other thoughts? We should just like we've made it clear this part is terrible.
Yeah.
Fortunately, this is the only escort mission we're gonna have in this game. It's done. So we get through. We are in Kakariko Village. We make it back, and everything's fine.
All the exposition happens off screen.
Right. So, you know, Ilya has no memory, but we don't get anything for this in terms of, like, you would think that we would want to see the kids being like, Ilya's back, and she's going to be like,
"Yep,
who are you people?"
Nope.
But they don't even do anything like that.
Nope.
And if we go back... like later on, we can go and talk to them individually, and they just basically say like, "Oh, who's this kid here?" And then Ilya's like, "Oh, I'm. Thank you so much for helping me, whoever you are."
Yeah, and they don't.
And
even,
that's it,
except for a throwaway line from Colin. I think they don't even. They wouldn't have even brought it up because Telma goes straight into, "Hey, I'm part of the resistance, man," and I'm like, "What are you resisting? I don't even know what like."
But right. I'm in.
But yeah, I mean, I'll hang out. But I mean, I'm the guy who's the only resistor here, really. So I'm the only one that does anything. But yeah, except for like Colin sort of mentioning it, they don't even bring it up.
No.
Yeah, we go through all of this. So yeah, Renato talks about how like, oh, he's taken care of all of this stuff. He just needs to rest, all that stuff. And then he starts to walk away, and then Telma says the whole resistance thing, but she's like, yeah, so go ahead and get back with me when you're in town and all that. Anyways, I gotta go catch up with Renato.
Yeah. Because she says, like, I want to stay around longer to keep an eye on Ilya. And then the next sentence, she's like, come back to see me at the bar. Because I want to talk to you about the resistance. And I'm like, I thought you said you were going to hang out here.
I know.
And then like, she changes from sentence to sentence. It's not like, and then she'll do it again. Well, she'll be like, see ya, I'm leaving. Oh, by the way, I'm staying. All right, I'm out of here. And then I'm staying. I'll see you later. And I'm just, I don't.
I mean, it takes 5 minutes to get back home.
For her, yeah.
So. As we, after we do all that stuff, then Ghost Zora Queen appears to us again.
Yeah.
And she basically, but I don't think she says anything this time.
No.
Like, she just sort of stands there, and then you are supposed to follow her.
Well, by the way, we all hang out here. This is our Florida. This is where we go to retire.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
You go and follow her back to the graveyard in Kakariko. Into the very back, there's that tiny little rock.
It's got the sapphire stone. Congratulations, mm-hmm. Colleen.
And she vaporizes it, but then there's just a little tunnel you have to crawl through. And I'm like, really? You're going to make me crawl? Like, after I did all this stuff, you're going to be like, get on your knees and crawl through the dirt.
Of course she is. She's a queen. She don't care.
But we go through all that. She explains that the Kakariko graveyard is where all the Zoras go when they die. But again, it's like, it's not very extravagant here. We do eventually get to, there's a rock below that you can bomb at some point, and it does take you to a tunnel that takes you directly back to the, I think either Zora's Domain or Lake Hylia.
Yes. All the way at the bottom of the map, not the top of the map where the Zoras are. So just as far.
Oh, sure. But she also then gives us the Zora tunic because she talks about how her husband would craft these things. And this was something that she will bestow upon him as a sign of her gratitude.
Uh-huh.
He made it for the hero of time.
Whoever he's in love with.
Mm.
This is the ugliest outfit.
Oh, it's so dumb looking.
Every single Zelda game I have ever
you
played.
It's got fish fins on the feet thing. And then your little windsock looking thing has a curl to it at the end. It looks kind of strange.
They touch it up.
Scales all over you.
They touch it up for Breath of the Wild. It looks a little bit better there. But yeah, it's still not great.
He's wearing a face mask.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you go underwater, he puts a face mask on.
Got the rebreather from episode one.
Mm-hmm. So with this as well, if you go back to the bomb area, we can also get water bombs now. So you can go and it's dumb. You have to, you can only have one type of bomb. And you have to empty those bombs.
You have to sell them
in order to do that
at a loss.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Which this game has like the, like earlier in the game when we were dealing with the slingshot, Beth was like, look, I can't take this. And I can't drop the price on it because our family bought it and we got to make some kind of profit off of it. And so now they're just rubbing that in our face. Like, they're just like, hey, mm-hmm. this game is capitalism, you know, blah, 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 blah. Like, you're going to keep bringing that crap up.
It's Tom Nook. It's Tom Nook.
Now, at this point, we can go directly to the next dungeon, but we're not going to do that quite yet because this was an exploration episode. Now that we are, like, fully open to all of this stuff, we can go back to the castle town and we can really, I mean, was it? There's, like, only a couple things that we can really do.
Yeah.
So there's a some priest asking for money.
I forget what that does
for you.
Donate
to. You get a heart piece if you give him 1,000.
Oh, okay. Great.
There is a... a mini game that we really can't do
nope.
that is just kind of a scam for us right now.
No, we need a.
If you
we
go
need,
in
I
there,
was terrified that when they raised the lights, the dude was going to be Tingle.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like sexy Tingle in this world. Like he's still dressed basically the same as Tingle.
I do love the. I do love the dramatic like reveal where he's like circus. Yeah.
Well, when I was a wolf, I walked past it and I listened to him. He's like, we're gonna make it killing. He's like basically calling all the people suckers or something to that.
And
effect.
Then there's the three girls that are hanging out outside. They're like, I can't wait to see a circus hero. Oh, I wonder when it's gonna open. There's the fortune teller, which is just a way to pay to get a hint. For where a heart piece is. It'll show you the fortune teller will be like, oh, I see something, and it'll show you a screenshot of an area where there's a heart piece you haven't found yet as a way to help you find all of them.
Oh, I didn't
run I'm cool with that. I
That's fine.
Love when they do that. And then the other thing is we can meet Agatha the Bug Princess.
She's like the opposite of Blathers. She likes bugs.
Mm-hmm.
Did anybody go talk to Agatha?
I didn't.
Oh yeah,
see
I gave
her
an ant.
You gave her ants.
And yeah,
I could only find one ant.
Okay,
but I gave her the one I could find.
So at this point, I didn't bring up we can collect bugs.
Yeah,
If you just run up to them, you can just like pick it up off the ground. You don't need anything in particular to get them.
Thankfully,
but there are going to be some later that you're really going to need. Some tools to reach.
But you don't need a bottle to put it in and sell it with seed.
No.
Or a net.
yeah.
Also, they don't disappear after you get them either. So, like, you could accidentally collect multiples if you don't keep track of it.
Uh-huh.
So that's something to keep in mind. But if you go and talk to Agatha, you give her your first bug, and she will give you a big wallet
in
place. So now you can hold up to 1,000 rupees.
Yeah, so she'll give you money, but also I think you get both your wallet upgrades from her, I think.
I don't remember. But every time you get a pair, she gives you a big bonus.
Yeah.
So she is a good way to make rupees.
Mm-hmm. I love Agatha.
Where is Agatha at?
She's just in that back road by where
Southeast.
Telma's bar is. Yeah, Southeast.
Yeah.
She's on West Street in... she's south of the star minigame.
Okay.
And there's a guy who's like peeping in her
window.
There's
like another kid. Yeah. He's like a kid though. He's like, I heard there was a cute girl in here. Yeah, it's kind of weird. She has invited all of the bugs for a bug ball at her this is Agatha's castle, she calls it. It's her castle. She's like the queen of the bugs or something.
Huh.
I was like, I already killed the bug queen this episode. Excuse me.
This makes me think of the presidents of the United States of America, Bug City. He's like a song about finding a bug who's on his way down to Bug City to party it up with all the bugs.
Yes.
This is where he's going.
I love them. I love them so much. Mm-hmm.
They are so good.
Yeah, so she wants our help. She enlists us in collecting all of the golden bugs to come to the bug ball. I love Agatha. I seem to love all of the things in this game that I think are dark and creepy that the game doesn't want me to think are dark and creepy. So, like, Mallow and Agatha and just, like, I'll do my own headcanon for the creepy stuff. Thank you very much. The edgelord stuff is not what I'm here for.
So, with all of that, is there anything else that stood out, like, that you found along the way as we were exploring?
Well, I talked to the little Goron kid, and then he's like, oh, my dad is so sad. He just stands out by the east gate, blah, blah, blah. And so I talked to him. Mm-hmm. He wants me to bring him some hot water, so I need to go do that. But I also, like, I went to the fruit. Don't do that.
Oh, do it, but it's the worst.
It's an annoying mini game.
But it finally it opens up the entire loop of Hyrule Field.
Yeah, I'd like to have that loop.
Yeah.
I went to go get, this is trivial, but I went to go like pick up like fruit or like vegetables from like those little stands and like, oh, like that's like stealing or whatever. Like, you better put that back. Or, oh, this, there might be better fruit somewhere else. You better put that back to, you know, see what else is out there. And I'm like, it was kind of cute, but I enjoyed that part.
Yeah, I did the cuckoo flying mini game.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah.
I did that too.
Ooh.
I didn't get the top one. I got the second to the top.
I only did it once, and I went for the big money and just landed in the water.
Mm-hmm. Oh no.
Yeah.
And then I was like, all right, well, I'll go check out the fishing pond. But then when I was looking for it, I couldn't find it. And then I just kept running into Pose and getting hit with lanterns. So I was just like, I'm going to go into the entrance of the dungeon and give up.
Yeah. The fishing pond is at the top of the river. Up by the lady who runs the riverboat game, which is very reminiscent of Link's Awakening, sort of.
Oh, I have zero desire to do that.
Yeah, so what happens is that you can go talk to her. I love her hair.
Yes.
I
love
I
her style in general.
She's cool. She's really upset about being stuck in the boonies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so when you go and talk to her, she's just like, I don't want to, I'm closed, don't talk to me. But then three of the Twilight monsters appear. If you defeat them, she'll be like, oh, thank you for saving me. Anyway, here's my issue. This stuff is blocked, so I can't use the river properly. Here's some bomb, like, can you use bomb arrows? And then the whole thing is about bomb arrows. And
I might
go and break that down.
If I don't have water bombs on me and I have to sell them back with C.
But you get this kayaking mini game that I think just sucks because I can't control anything.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm just
it sucks.
I can't. But here's the thing: is it's like it's still kind of like realistic. Like in general, if this was my first time going down river in a little kayak like that, yeah, I'm lucky to survive. But it was just kind of annoying in a video game because I'm like over here just trying to turn right and then I'm just completely turned around, but still just the water's pushing me wherever. But also there's no enemies on here. Like you're really just, you could take damage, I think, if you hit like the broken walls, but I was blowing those up before I got near them.
Right. That's
so
what
I
you're
didn't
supposed
get
to do.
Hurt at all. And if you go through that whole thing, you meet Azora down at the end. That's kind of funny where he's like, oh, yeah, I work with her, too. I just work part time, though.
Yeah.
So here's what we're doing.
He brings the boat back up.
Yeah. And then he says, like, when you get through the end, he was like, did she make a deal with you? She likes to make deals with people, I'm assuming. It was like a bomb bag thing. She loves doing that with people. Here's a bomb bag anyway. See ya. And then he just leaves.
You like bombs?
Now, you do get multiple bomb bags later. Like, just to be clear, you do eventually, if I remember correctly, you do get multiple bomb
bags. I hope you remember correctly, because I thought that was just a thing. See, I want to do the kayaking game. I haven't yet, because after this episode, I hate that section of the river, and I don't really feel like experiencing it again right now. So, I haven't done that. In fact, I was going to go do some fishing and just kind of wind down the rest of the stream on Wednesday. No pun intended. Of just hanging out in the fishing area and stuff, but I would have had to have flown back up the river to do so. And I was like, you know what? Pac-Man 99 came out, so I'm just going to go do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to go save right here at Lake Hylia and peace out. This game has given me enough anxiety tonight that I'll get back. I'll do more exploring later.
All right. So, as we, in this episode, we are staring at the face of another dungeon in the Zora Temple. For the next episode, we are going to beat that temple as well as obtain the legendary blade. So do all of that.
Ooh.
And we will meet back here and talk about it on Shadow of the Wild.